Did Bob McCowan just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. The views and opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of this station. There, we're totally covered. Do your worst, Bob. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Tuesday, the 6th of October, 2015, and Primetime Sports on your radio, on your television. I'm Bob McCowan. That is John Shannon.
Hello, Robert.
That is you two singing in the background.
That is you two?
Yeah, they're just over there. You can't see them because we don't have contract to let
them. Hi, you two.
Oh. It's actually four. There's four of them.
No, it's kind of the
you four. Later in the program, Darren Rovell of ESPN, Lou Lamoriello, the Leafs general manager, Jim Duquette of MLB Radio. Well, MLB Network, actually. Bob Ryan from the Boston Globe, Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports, Don Banks from Sports Illustrated, and Cassie Campbell-Pascal.
It's an all-star team. It's an all-star team.
It's pretty good.
Hey, can I read a tweet?
Go ahead.
Tore my ACL, finished my degree from Duke, rehabbed my knee in 5 months, and now pitching in game two of the ALDS. Crazy excited.
That's from Marcus Stroman, obviously.
Indeed.
I don't know anybody else who tours ACL.
And do you know anybody else who's starting in game two on Friday?
Well, I thought it would be Dickey, but what do I know,
Who would know the answer to that?
The manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John Gibbons, is with us. Are you prepared to make an announcement or anything official, Mr. Gibbons?
About what?
About the starting rotation for the postseason.
Well, I think you just hit on the head, didn't you, Price and Stroman?
Yeah, well, that's what... That's what Stroh says, anyway. So,
well, and how many guys do you know that graduated from Duke, by the way?
None.
Yeah, I want to know how close Bob ever got to going to campus at Duke. That's a better question.
I don't like to hang out with smart people.
Well, then you got the right guy on the line.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by people that I like a lot. Yeah. How are you, by the way? Congratulations. We haven't had a chance to talk.
Yeah, Bob, hey, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on here, but I'm glad you got me.
Well, we're glad to have you. The decision to start Stroh over Dickey at home, I get it, but I thought about it, as everybody did, and I probably would have gone with RA at home. Tell me what the thought process was.
Well, I think we're gonna run with our two top guys. You know, we'll go Price that first one, hopefully win that first game You know, you get your hottest, another hot guy going that second game, and hopefully come out with a 2-0 lead. Or say you struggle in that first game, you know, Stroh might be able to save you right there. So really, it came down to going with our two hottest guys, really. And then you know, especially in a three game, you know, when you got to win three games, it just made sense to me anyway. Maybe not you, but to me.
Well, here's my point: was this? If you look at RA's record at home and on the road, indoors versus outdoors. I'd rather have RA throwing that funny ball at the Rogers Center. That was my whole position on it.
No, make sense. You know, I'm not so sure the part about indoors, outdoors, you know, matters that much. You know, I mean, I've seen him good both places with the dome closed here when he's outdoors. Now, weather-wise, I mean, that's a factor. I think they really, the only thing that bothers him throwing the knuckleball is if there's moisture in the air, you know, if you get a little light rain or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's where, of course, you'd have the benefit of, you know, being, we have a roof here if we need it. So, but really, Bobby, just came down to, you know, run our top two guys at him, you know, back-to-back and hopefully get a little lead there.
John, how do these guys, I mean, let's face it, professional athletes have egos. How do you tell R.A. Dickey that he's not starting at home and in game two, and how do you manage those egos? Because, by God, you got a lot of them.
Well, I mean, yeah, generally at the top of any sport, yeah, that's a part of what drives these guys. But you know what, I've been saying all year, there's something different about this group. And you know, we have some of the best players in baseball, and yet, you know, they get it. It's team first, and you know, RA, you know, he, you know, we told him. I mean, he wasn't surprised by that at all, and he totally understood. And he sees what Strom is doing as well, you know, and he's basically on board. Hey, every game you need me, let's do it. I'll go out there and give you my best. But you know, this team as a whole, basically, they're all unselfish. Yet they have a lot of pride, and they all have big egos like everybody else in the sport. But there's something different about this group. I've been saying that all year.
With John Gibbons, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. So Stroh goes second, Dickey goes third, and who goes fourth? Or do you make that decision? Do you bring Price back for sure if you need him? Or do you decide that when you get to the game four?
We'd have to wait and see where how we're sitting right at the moment. You didn't even mention Estrada.
Well, I'm getting to him. Gibbons, patience. I'll get there.
Want to make sure you didn't forget his name, Bob.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, look at, and since you brought it up, my next question: several people, some of whom I respect, suggest that you make the argument that Estrada should be 1 or 1A. That his season has been good enough, probably not to be number one over Price, but you can make the case that maybe he shouldn't be the number four guy in the rotation. How do you calculate this kind of stuff? I mean, you and Alex and a bunch of guys sit around and kind of try and analyze it
in the ward room, but nobody said he was going to be number four either. He could be three, you know. You know, Bob, there's an argument there for that.
Sure, there is.
He's had that kind of year.
Yeah, he has.
I guess what we feel real good about is, you know, when we hit the road, you know, our three or four, whoever that is, whatever order, you know, we feel good about them. They're all in a nice little roll right now. So we're comfortable. Whoever we throw out there, we think we're in a pretty good position, regardless where we stand at the time. So, that's one of the benefits, you know, and normally teams, you know, they get to the postseason, you're not going to get there with one or, you know, one and a half good starters. You need more than that, and that's what we have.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to declare your roster for this series, I believe, 10 o'clock Thursday morning, 10 o'clock day of game? Is that right?
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not sure you're going to tell us. What's your toughest decision?
Well, you know, it really hasn't been that tough. We met as a – you know, the coaching staff and Alex and his guys the other day in Tampa. It really came down to, you know, that extra bullpen guy, who that might be, and maybe who that last position player was going to be. Really not many decisions we had to make. And it really was just a formality, and I think everybody's on the same page. And, you know, we haven't announced anything yet, but, you know, we pretty much know what we're going to do. And, you know, I just got to talk to Alex, see when he wants to announce that. I think
now is as good a time as
any,
Gibby.
Why not? Sure.
The protocol.
Yeah, well, I'll call Gibby. I'll call Alex for you. Don't worry about him. He won't bother you. I'm assuming, most people are assuming that Burley is not on the 25-man roster. Did you think about what he might be able to do for you in the bullpen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the problem with that, you know, he's never thrown out of the bullpen other than his rookie season.
I understand.
And I'm not so sure he's comfortable with doing that either. Not because, you know, a pride thing, but, you know, it's been so long, he's been a starter. You know, he, as far as getting him ready in the game, blah, 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 all that stuff, getting him prepared and on the spur of the moment, calling to the bullpen, hey, get this guy ready for a second hitter, you know, that kind of thing. It would be tough. And, you know, he struggled the last month. You know, he's gutted out, and he had a tremendous season for us, but he's pretty beat up right now, too, so he understands that totally. But now, you know, if we're fortunate enough to move on to that second round or even hopefully the World Series, and, you know, something happens or we feel like he can help us, he can always come back with that too.
Loop did not have a good season, but I believe you're going to name him to the roster. You can confirm or deny because you want that extra left-hander. True or false?
Yeah, well, Bob, I think we need it. You know, it's been an up and down season for him. You know, in the last couple of years, he's really been one of the key go-to guys, and he hasn't pitched a whole lot lately, but he still has the ability to get some lefties out. You know, maybe in a key hitter or two in that sixth inning, and you look at Texas's lineup. You know, their real strength is their left-handed hitters. Mm-hmm. you know, even you go, you know, the Yankees, who knows, if you end up meeting them somehow then down the road, I mean, they're basically a left-handed hitting team. So, yeah, those guys can be very valuable because, you know, other than that, we, you know, it's just Cecil, and, you know, you're not going to throw him three innings.
Well, no, I understand.
That's the only problem right there.
Outfielders, you're going to go with two extras, Pompey and...
You're working right into the team, aren't you?
Well, if you won't tell me, I got to ask a different way. If I have to be sneaky, Gibby, I can be sneaky.
Because you know what? That dumb text will reveal everything, won't he? Now, I think we highlighted a few times this year, you know, just what Pompey can do for us coming off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, base running. He's got sure. the ability to steal a bag. He can score from first with anybody. And, you know, we, like most teams, but we got a few cloggers on this team too. Now we get down a run or tie game late where that run's vital. We're gonna have to pinch run, and he could be very valuable with that.
Right. Did you think about going with three catchers? Because and I would have initially said no, but we had a conversation last Friday in a roundtable, and a case was made for Toley. And you know what? I get it. I just wonder whether you've decided that yet.
Well, no, we're not going to go with three. But, you know, I mean, there's always the possibility that, you know, say, you know, Russell's catching R.A. in that game and he gets hurt or something, you know. Then I think what you're going to see probably happen is Dickey comes out of the game, unfortunately. You know, Navarro, we'll let him mess with it a little bit, but I don't know how good it would be, or we'd at least experiment with it. And that's the
danger, yeah.
That's the risk and reward of a knuckleballer, you know, that... You know, especially when you get to the postseason and roster spots are limited, we have some key guys that fit other roles, and it's really tough to carry that third catcher when that's really all he does is catch.
So we know you're playing Texas, but how close will you be watching the Houston Yankee game tonight?
Oh yeah, I'll definitely watch that. You know, we have a 6 o'clock workout tonight, and after that, I'll turn that on. Yeah, yeah. This is second season of baseball. And, you know, who knows who we might meet if we get through this first one.
Well, what's the health of the ball club in general? Everybody, I know Edwin is going to have the finger problem probably for the rest of the year. We'll have to get it looked after in the off season. Anybody else with any bangs or bruises that concern you?
You know, Bob, I think we're pretty lucky right now. Everybody's in pretty good shape. Yeah, you know, Eddie's finger, that's, you know, I think he's really gotten over that a little bit. And these few days off will definitely help that. You know, this time of year, you got to suck it up anyway. So, but overall, yeah, we're actually in real good shape.
Hey, John, this has got nothing to do with looking forward, but looking back, and I don't mind saying it. I love what you did for Mark Burley on Sunday.
You're in the minority.
I know. Oh no, I know. I know. And I just thought it was the right thing to do for a person at his point in his career, for a milestone that was important to a lot of people, and. Maybe you kind of indicated it was almost as important for his teammates as it was for him. And to me, that's all about team first, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, yeah, and I talked to a couple of his teammates, you know, about doing it. And they said, you know, you got to do it. And, you know, the thing that, you know, really opened up the doors, you know, with that rain out in Baltimore on Tuesday night, you know, forced a doubleheader on Wednesday. You know, if Stroman would have pitched that Tuesday, he would have been in line. He would at least thrown some innings on Sunday, you know. But he was coming back on short rest, mm-hmm. and the same thing with Dickey since they both threw that doubleheader. So we needed a guy to begin with. So it was a bullpen day, you know. I don't know if it was, you could say it made perfect sense, but to me it did. And to his teammates you know, maybe the baseball guys didn't like it. That's why that first inning went the way it did. But you know, I thought he deserved a shot, and the fact that it was a bullpen day anyway, why not give it a chance?
I didn't mind. I thought I agree with John. I thought, you know, putting Burley out there on Sunday, if he was able to go, and he says he was fine, didn't pitch like it, but he said he was fine, and I don't have an issue with it. My issue is a greater issue would have been, and I quite frankly said so, Gibby, was, you know, and I understand the circumstances. I just thought maybe not enough attention was paid to the possibility of holding off Kansas City and getting that extra home game in the ALCS if it came down to it.
No, right. A fair question. You know what happened there? We're even talking about that Tuesday night, you know, with the rain out. We said, okay, you know, we got a doubleheader this night. We can win this thing after the first game. What are we going to do? And I just started looking back. You know, these last few weeks have been a grind. You know, in the previous home set, you know, we had a tough series against Boston, lost 2 out of 3. Then the Yankees came to town. You know, another good intense series, and you know, we won that one. Then of course now we're on our way to Baltimore. We're getting close. These guys have been out there every day grinding. You know, they're feeling it. They're feeling the heat. They're banged up. And then we come back winning that first game against Baltimore. So now we're on the verge. And with the fact that we got a doubleheader, you know, you win the first one, there's going to be a big letdown. It's got to be. You know, it's human nature. These guys have, you know, been competed all year. They get to that point first time in 20-something years, they're aware of that. You know, it's with the excitement, the celebration, even after the first game. You know, it'd been hard to expect those guys to be locked in anyway. And to be honest with you, there might have been a group of them in there saying, you know, what the hell are we doing? You know, I mean, can I ever get a breather? That kind of thing, you know. And we had plenty of backup guys here that, you know, they go out there, maybe not the same offense, but give us a shot. And so really that's everything that factored in. I knew the magnitude of the situation, but I also got to, you know, a manager's got to do what's best for his guys and understand their mindset and what they've been through and really the frame of mind, what the frame of mind probably was going to be for that second game anyway. You know, and then, of course, the next day was, you know, all the crap weather and really that would have been the day off anyway because they played before and things like that. And, you know, Price wasn't going to pitch at them. Thank God it didn't come down to that rain day there in Baltimore. You know, Price might have been out there for one inning, he'd have been done, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. And then we made the decision it would be best for, you know, Price. You know, he's thrown a lot of innings this year in over the last few years. We're in the playoffs. Let's rest him up. He'll get enough side work where he's feeling good, you know, to start that first game. Let him back off because, you know, he's one of the league leaders in his pitch at this point, and hopefully he's making a few more starts for us before this is all said and done. So that's really everything it came down to. I know it wasn't considered necessarily a smart decision, but it came down to what I thought was best for our guys, and in the end, that's the most important thing to me.
If you're going
to
win the World Series, you don't have to worry about one game. You can win more games than that on the road. My goodness gracious. That's the way. That's what championship teams do, John, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. I mean, that extra home game, you know, of course, that's ideal. You know, for us, the way we play at home, and everybody wants that, especially with the crowd we've got now. But there's always that but.
Indeed.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it that way, but that's okay. That's why you're the manager, and I'm sitting here doing a stupid radio show.
But you open yourself up for a lot of criticism.
Well, I mean, you know, I think the
circumstances—I
think the circumstances played a role in this, as you said. You win in the first game of the doubleheader. You don't want to send the guys back out for the nightcap. Then, you know, the next day you're supposed to play 4:00. They move it up to 12:00. You know, all those drunks probably only had a couple of hours sleep after the party, and you know, I get all that. I understand the circumstances were such that it would have been a tough call. I just wanted to make sure that there was at least some attention to the fact that Kansas City was out there in an extra home game. You know, God forbid you go 7 games against Kansas City. Now, we're not there yet, but God forbid you go 7 against Kansas City and you have to play it in their yard and something stupid happens and, you know, they win it in the 9th inning. But
would you still have me on the show the next day?
Hell no. Are you kidding?
You may be the permanent co-host.
Well, enjoy this. You're working out at 6:00 today. What are the guys going to do? Just normal BP, little infield, and usual stuff.
A little PFP stuff like that. You know, for the pitchers.
Yeah,
a few little bunch. Yeah, you just a little tune up. Get them move around a little bit. And then tomorrow we have our, you know, league mandatory 1 at 2:00, and then we'll be ready to go.
Do you anticipate managing any differently now that it's a postseason?
Well, Bob, you know what? I've talked to some guys in baseball, been around a long time, and they say that, you know, the playoffs is different, but what hurts a lot of guys if they get too conservative and they start going away from what they normally do. Now, in saying that, you know, really every game is a must win, so you will do some things differently, maybe what you do with the pitching staff, you know, and how much, you know, rope you give those guys
right
when they're in the game. But, you know, and it makes a lot of sense. Don't, if you get too conservative and you go away from, let's say, from the offensive end of it and things like that, and or who you play and this and that, you know, I think players would sense that too. And you know, one thing about our group we have in here, we play an exciting brand of baseball. You know, they turn it loose. You know, they lay it out there every night. You know, so you don't want to restrict them in any way like that. Just go do your thing, guys. And you know, if we're good enough, we'll be there.
Earlier today, Sportsnet aired the fourth game of the ALCS against Oakland, where Robbie hit the home run in the bottom of the ninth, or top of the ninth, rather, off Eckersley. And you know, many people think that was the game-winning home run. It wasn't. It tied the game up, and they won in extra innings. But the interesting part about that, Gibby, is Jack Morris started. He was horrible. And the Blue Jays were down 6-1 and wind up winning at 7-6 in extra innings. And that team had a lot of pop on it, as you know, but it doesn't have as much pop as this team. So,
right.
You know, getting down early may not be the kiss of death.
Right.
So.
Yeah, Bobby, you know, that's one thing we've proven. You know, of course, playoffs are different. We know that. But
we know. But
this team has proved many times this year that, you know, we can come back from some pretty good leads. It's not ideal, but, you know, that's what we do.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's comforting to know. That's for sure. And you know, that's what you can do when you hit the long ball. That's what you can do. And you know, hey, go for it, boys.
Gibby, we'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll be there for you. We'll be watching, and hopefully the first of several series in this postseason. Thanks a lot for taking a few minutes for us today, pal.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
See you soon. John Gibbons, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Well, he explained himself.
Sure.
I'm not satisfied, but that's okay.
What about losing home field to Kansas City? Is that what you're not satisfied about?
It's just, it's hard for me to believe that they decided that was important when you consider the entire string of events. I get not playing the regulars in the second game of the doubleheader.
And the next day.
Well, I get the next day more. The second game of the doubleheader, I think if I might have put my starters back out there. You know, the rest notion, nonsense. You got 3 days off.
Well, and baseball players, let's face it, baseball players more than any other pro sport live with routine.
It's every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
And routine is important. I think routine is as important as anything. And now you're going to have Price pitch with 11 days rest and Stroman pitch with, 7 or 8 days rest. That's not routine. So I probably would have put my starters back out. The next day, the game was supposed to start at 4 o'clock.
Correct.
They moved the game up to noon because they thought they were going to have weather problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's what weathermen know, because they started the game at 12, played for a half an hour, and then the rain came. By 4 o'clock, when we were supposed to play the game, it was fine again, and they finished it.
Yeah.
But starters didn't play. Now you get to the weekend, no Price, no Stroman. Trying to remember who pitched on Friday. Dickey pitched on Friday?
No, Burley did, didn't he?
Burley on Friday. Yeah, Burley Friday, Dickey Saturday. And then
Burley on Sunday again.
Well, by Sunday, it's over.
Right. Well,
technically,
they could have backed in.
If they won Sunday and Kansas City lost.
Right.
But by then, you'd basically given up the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
It just, too many things happened for my liking where they didn't put enough importance on that. And it may mean absolutely nothing.
Sure.
In fact,
if Houston or the Yankees go and win in Kansas City and beat
it doesn't
them,
matter.
That doesn't matter.
They still get home field.
Sure.
Right. And even if they do play Kansas City, what are the odds it'll go 7 games?
And that's my point. If you are a championship team, you have to win on the road anyway. So, you know, win on the road. What the heck? But particularly with the way this team can play. And if Price and Stroman continue to pitch the way they pitch.
I get it. I just, you know.
You did well, Bob. You got almost the 25-man roster out of them.
Just about, huh?
Oh yeah, you did.
So
we didn't get
Cabrera.
No, we didn't get the
in. You said Pompey's in.
Pompey's in, and Toley isn't.
That means Toley's
not,
out,
and we know
Cabrera's
and
in.
Burley's not on, and Loop is, right?
Yeah. Who did I miss? Well, Pennington's going to be the backup infielder.
Yes,
we already knew that.
Right,
that wasn't even a choice.
We might be close. I don't have my roster in front of me.
We might have them all. The Loop one, I'm not. I understand because he's a left-handed pitcher, but, you know.
If Burley had been healthy, that wasn't.
I got to tell you, I pray they don't send Loop out there in a key situation. And I think Gibby will do it because Gibby likes Loop. He loves Loop. He respects Loop. I got nothing against Loop. He hasn't pitched well this year.
The discussion on Burley out of the bullpen was an interesting one. Just the fact that the level of preparation he takes as a starter for the opposition, and that it's how vastly different it is to come out of the bullpen.
I just see, you know, writing with a pen, writing with a pencil. How is one different from the other? And I think baseball people get stuck in this quagmire. If you think Burley is a better left-hander than Loop, I don't care if he started his entire life. This is not nuclear science. Yeah. He goes out. It's Burley. He doesn't need to throw pitches to warm up. He doesn't throw hard enough.
But the way John is talking, it almost like he needs it. He needs 10 days. He needs 10 days to rest.
What, after he throws 10 pitches?
Well, I don't know. I mean, not to be on this roster. I mean, he didn't rule him out going to the ALCS on the roster, depending who they play.
Well, you got to get there first, you know.
Yes.
Texas ain't a walkover.
No. Mind you, the way they played against the Angels on Saturday. Did you see that game?
I don't remember.
Holy smokes. They were up. It was 10-6 going to the bottom of the top of the ninth.
And then and California got to the bullpen. Well,
And hit long ball against them.
That's the weakness of the Texas Rangers. The absolute weakness of the Texas Rangers is their bullpen. Mm-hmm. What I like about the Blue Jays is not just they get a lot of runs, they make starting pitchers throw a lot of pitches. Yeah. They take a lot of pitches. They foul off a lot of pitches. They make starting pitchers rack up pitches. Now, I understand it's the postseason. You know, guys aren't going to be on 100 pitch limits, but still, the chances of the Blue Jays getting into Texas's bullpen is pretty good. And that's where the bats should feast, which is why I brought up the game that was on Sportsnet earlier today.
Right.
That game for the 90...
Alomar, I was there.
The Alomar game.
I was actually there.
I thought I saw you.
No, you didn't.
Okay. I said I thought.
By the way, does it sound like Estrada? Does it sound like Estrada as the game 3 pitcher?
No.
I think it does.
Didn't he say, Dickie?
No, you did. You said, Dickie.
Get Gibby back on. Let's ask him. Call him back. He leaks like a sieve, doesn't he?
No, he's just an honest, good old Texas boy. San Antone. Come on.
Darren Revelle will join us next. Major scandal in the daily fantasy world. Did you hear this one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oops. Wonder what this means long term. If you don't know, stick around. We'll tell you about it. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Now, more of Bob McCowan.
Minutes before the hour.
Oh, sorry.
We're on the air.
Oh, is that how this works? Red lights?
Well, if a red light comes on, you shut up. Or talk on the mic. But don't be talking to me off mic while I'm talking
on the mic. We were having a great conversation.
I don't know how great it was, but it was...
Okay.
We were having a conversation.
We were talking.
Oh, I love these stories. A major scandal erupting in the multi-billion dollar industry of fantasy sports. Yum, yum. And here to tell us all about it is our friend Darren Revelle of ESPN. Hello, Revelle. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good. I'm just sorting through all this.
So tell the audience, not to mention me, exactly what happened here.
An employee of DraftKings, one of the two big daily fantasy sites, came in second place in what was $1 million week three NFL contest and won $350,000. He's a writer for DraftKings, tells people who to select and this and that. On Sunday, a week after he won, he posted by mistake a list of percentages of what players were most chosen, which sometimes that information is available, sometimes that's not, but he posted that, and it then drew the questions as to whether he has used information in the past to set his lineups and then, I can't say the word bet, I got it, bet at FanDuel. So he can't bet at DraftKings, but he can bet at the competitor FanDuel. So this then got last night, you know, it was on the message boards, and then the New York Times picked it up and said, well, this is basically akin to insider trading, that there's a bunch of these analysts that have the data. And the reason why this data matters is because a large proportion of the people who eventually win these prizes often have one player that has been put on a roster on less than 5% of rosters. So in other words, you have everyone else that everyone else has, but then you have one player who does incredibly well, and that's how you win the money. If you have that data ahead of time, sure, you still need luck, but that's inside information.
And we believe that this guy clearly had that information, or at least access to that information.
DraftKings said that they think he put out the information after the lineups were locked, and they said their internal investigation is that he didn't, in this case, have it.
Well,
there's no regulatory body, so they could say whatever they want.
Okay, but I just want to be clear here. Did you not say earlier that he posted or inadvertently posted?
He posted it after lineups were set. So he posted it at 1:40. So he posted it 40 minutes after the lineups were set, not before. So again, there's questions as to, well, has someone given him the information in the past? Did someone give him the information to win week three over at FanDuel? Anyway, so they say their investigation, this guy did, there's no wrongdoing. We don't have any real way to check into it. It's not exactly the most transparent statement. But I put the pressure on FanDuel today and said, okay, what percentage of the money that you've given out, which has been roughly $2 billion since they started, have been won by DraftKings employees?
Ah.
And they came back to me and said, 0.3%. Now, that seems small, but I think DraftKings has like about 200 employees, and that would mean that 200 employees have at least not profited. I mean, they've made the money. Who knows what else they put in entry fees? But about $6 million has been won by DraftKings employees
wow.
at FanDuel.
And what about
so
the other way around?
In that perspective, it's not small potatoes. And, you know, the question is that retroactive now? Let me continue, because it gets more intriguing.
Okay.
Go to Major League Baseball, who's an equity owner in DraftKings.
Right.
Ask them what they think of all this. They give me their statement saying that players can't participate in fantasy games for money, and they were unaware that employees of DraftKings could do any fantasy for money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with all the lawyers that have done all this due diligence and all the big companies that have invested, whether it's NBC and Fox and Google Ventures and KKR, the big fund, it's pretty amazing that Major League Baseball is admitting that they didn't do due diligence here, because this is a disaster. The Fantasy Sports Trade Association said this morning in a joint statement that at least temporarily they are barring the employees from being able to do what they want on fantasy games for money. But that doesn't solve the problem of inside information, because as we know, with inside information, the stock market and things that are regulated by the SEC, family and friends come into play, and you have to figure out all the connections.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, this smacks...
This is at least, I don't know if this is the iceberg, but this is at least something where, you know, there's a lot of questions as to how open this business is to fall.
Doesn't this remind you of the poker the online poker controversy?
Yeah, it's not exactly.
It's different,
it's
but
not exactly the whole card. But what I will say is, what got me on poker, and let's take away the game of skill and whatever. What got me on poker was, how do you know when you are playing a virtual poker game that the deck is not stacked against you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, or in the case of what happened, you had people who had equity positions in
right.
one of the poker
who
sites
seats at the table.
Who had access to hold cards.
Correct.
You know, right. through a back door in the computer software. And right. essentially were cheating the players on a consistent basis, and they would never know it. And now this is not the same, but it's not that dissimilar, is it?
Yeah, you still need to have luck, and you still need to pick the right person. But like, you know, like if you knew that a small percentage of people had Gary Varnage, and you went with them, you probably won $100,000.
Yeah.
He was taken by like 0.03%, or like LeGarrette Blount a couple weeks ago, 2.2% at LeGarrette Blount. So, and then if you have 100 entries, you can play around with it.
So, Darren, how quickly before the U.S. government gets more involved in this? We know that they've been, you know, saber-rattling a little bit, but how quickly will there be a Senate hearing on this thing?
Well, I think John, I think there's two things here. One, before regulation was about, oh, it's really gambling, maybe we should regulate this. Now, some of it is, oh, it should be regulated because... hey, this could be fraud. So now I now see another element of attorneys general and, you know, the legal system getting into this faster than they might have anticipated. And yes, I do think that there will be a congressional look into this by, you know, the House Energy and Commerce Committee or someone. Now, what's interesting is the only time so far we've had that is a representative from New Jersey basically said, look into this.
Right.
And he was looking into it because he wanted them to look into it, not because he wanted them to strike them down, but to say, okay, that's gambling, fine. You can have your, you know, he represents Monmouth Park constituency, and he wants to have his too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I expect I'll be spending some time in Washington, D.C., and they will too.
With Darren Revelle of ESPN. We've talked a fair bit about the fall of Adidas from, you know, being the preeminent equipment supplier in the world and their ongoing rivalry with Nike and now Under Armour surging past. Nike is trying to fight back, and one of the platforms where they seem to be doing most of their work at this moment in time is the NHL.
Adidas, you mean?
What did I say?
Nike.
I said Nike. I meant Adidas.
Yeah.
Adidas. They have deals with the NHL, the NHLPA, and now have added Sidney Crosby to their athletes list. What is this, at this point in time, what does this mean for Adidas, in your opinion?
I mean, nothing. I mean, right now, nothing. It's just a switch over from the Reebok. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. I think right now it's a branding situation. What they really want is just, I think, some more credibility. And unless I'm not sure that the path is going to be easy for them. I don't. You start with the big time athletes, but I'm not sure that doesn't buy you everything. It gets you a little bit of buzz, but it doesn't bring you home. So I don't know what they said their strategy is to get 500 athletes. And I don't even know if you need volume, but you will go nowhere if you have no one significant. And obviously they spent a boatload of money with James Harden, and you could bet they're paying Sid some money.
One of the things that Crosby has suggested is that he will have some sort of role in the design and execution of production for hockey product with Adidas. Is that common? Is that gobbledygook nonsense, or is there any validity to...
Most of it is nonsense. It's the standard thing that you say.
Right.
And most of it is nonsense. But, you know, I mean... He might have some sway. You know, they put the McDonald's logo on. You know what he does with the McDonald's logo?
No.
I guess before each game, he, like, goes and traces the McDonald's logo for each home game, like, with a stick.
Oh, really?
And apparently, because of this, when they built their new practice center, They basically gave McDonald's a free ad on the heist just because Sid wanted it.
Hmm.
Likes his Big Macs, I guess.
Well, that's interesting because his sponsorship representative here is Tim Hortons.
Oh,
which is a QSR in direct competition to McDonald's.
Oh well.
So.
Oh well.
Hey, well, and Adidas actually they're going to unveil their first jerseys, uniforms, sweaters, whatever you want to call them, whatever country you're
tomorrow.
In. Well, but we're going to see them be in use on ESPN, and you know, with the World Cup of Hockey. I think that's a big part of this. I really do.
I do too, because how much are they going to change the NHL? I mean, basically, Bettman. I mean, I was in that room when Bettman announced, you know, was talking about the deal, and they're not. They're going to change less than the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do not want that jersey changed.
No.
You know, it's a very high-end item, too.
But
the volume that's done there is less than, of course, Major League Baseball or the NBA or NFL.
But the World Cup with ESPN and here in Canada on Sportsnet and Rogers, the World Cup is almost a blank canvas and allows a lot more change, particularly with exposure that your network will give it.
Yeah,
Ravel, we must bid you a fond adieu. The time is our enemy.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Have a good week yourself. There's Darren Ravel of ESPN. What do you think comes out of this fan thing, dual thing, whatever the name of these two companies are?
Well, it's at a perfect time with growth and out of control, Bob. Purely out of control, is that you're looking for government regulation and somehow, some way, government regulation.
This just opens the door to some
sure
who is going to sit down and say, we need to have a hearing.
That's great.
Look at this.
That's right.
I mean, we've already had political figures chime in and say there's something wrong here.
Yeah. But Jerry Jones is involved. Robert Kraft is involved. As Darren talked about, Major League Baseball, Comcast, the parent company of NBC, is involved. You know, KKR, which I believe is Kirk Kerkorian and his money.
The late Kirk Kerkorian.
But the family, you know, the business.
Oh, I know it's big guys.
I mean, we're talking big, big money, but at the same time. If this type of thing is happening and people inside are winning the money at any level, it's like what we went through in Ontario when, local grocery store owners were winning lottery tickets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you have to watch yourself.
I think Judgment Day is a coming
.
For those two websites. Lou Lamoriello will join us in the next hour. Jim Duquette of Major MLB Network, and Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe.
What a show.
Then Ken Rosenthal, Don Banks, and Cassie Campbell Pascal. Wow. What a shame you can't be here for it.
Why do you look at me like that?
No reason, John. Will I be seeing you tomorrow?
Yes.
How delightful.
I can tell.
Back in a minute.